to see you, and I'm going to read to you some verses from the book of Acts in chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Now this is we're just nipping in at the end of a message that was preached by Paul, the apostle, the New Testament gospel preacher, and he's preaching in a city called Antioch, and he's been talking about how Jesus has fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies and how that marks him out as being the promised Savior. He's spoken about how he's the Son of God and how he's died on the cross and he's risen from the dead. So then in verse 38 he says, "Be it known unto you therefore," Acts 13:38, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," the Lord Jesus, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, wonder, perish." The message of the gospel is a message that can be studied for a lifetime, and you never really get to the bottom of it. And yet something I'm so glad about is this, that it can be so simply understood and enjoyed, and so simply summarized. And so I want to just summarize the message that Paul preached here on this occasion, and just show you that the message of the gospel really is the essence of simplicity. Paul spoke about something bad. He spoke about the subject of sin. He spoke about something glad. He said forgiveness is available. And then he spoke about something sad. That is, that even though forgiveness is available, there are those that refuse it. And they're going to perish. First of all, something bad. He spoke about the subject of sin. Now that's something that we all have. And I don't think I need to try and persuade you that you've sinned. The Bible says if anyone says they haven't sinned, they're just kidding themselves on, deceiving themselves. We all have a conscience, and we all know that we're not perfect. We all know that we've done wrong. But maybe what you've never really realized is this, that your sin is bad. You might think it's not that bad. It really doesn't matter. It's not that serious. It's nothing to worry about. Now, if you think that, you could not be more wrong. There is nothing more serious than sin. It is something to worry about. It is a big deal. And sin is serious for many reasons. One is because of how it affects God. Maybe you've never given that a thought. But your sin affects God. You see, every sin, no matter who else it affects or harms on the horizontal plane, every sin has a vertical dimension to it. Our sins are against God. God takes them personally. God takes them seriously. Every sin is an offense to his holiness. And it is an outrage to his righteousness. It is an insult to his goodness. It is an assault on his sovereignty. Every sin is an act of treason against our rightful sovereign. Listen, God gave us life and energy and time, and he gave us that for it to be used for his glory. When we sin, we are stealing from God. He didn't give us the life that we've got for us to use it in rebellion against. God created us in his image, which means, among other things, that we represent God. And so when we sin, we are lying about God. We are committing slander. And God takes that serious. Listen, God has been good. And yet we have rebelled against sin. Sin is serious because of how it affects God. Sin is serious because of how it affects us. Right? Sin separates us from God now. We were created to know him and enjoy him. But sin has separated us from God so that we cannot enter in to the joy that God intended us to have. We can't experience that relationship that we were meant and made to experience. We're separated from God now, and we will be separated from God forever. Sin invites and incites and demands and deserves the wrath of God. Is sin serious? It's as serious as hell. Because that's where it's taking you, and that's where you'll be forever. I remember reading a story. I couldn't really believe it was true. But then I spoke to quite a few friends who have lived a long time in Africa, different countries in Africa, and they all told me, no doubt about it, this is true. So here's the story. This man in Africa, and he's walking through this clearing in the jungle, and there emerges from a bush this snake. And the man turns and runs, and the snake pursues him. And this man is running as hard as he can, and he can't shake this snake off his trail. He gets to a river, and he jumps in and wades across, and he thinks, as he gets to the other side and sits on the bank panting and gasping, he thinks, right, that's it, I'm safe now from the snake. But to his horror, the snake comes skimming across the surface of the river. I hated that story. But the point is even more serious than the story. The point is this: the snake is like your sin. And no matter how far or how fast you run through life, it still follows you. You can't shake it off. And when you come to the river of death, you do not leave your sin behind you. It follows you out to the other side. Be sure your sin will find you out. You will meet your sins again if you're not saved. It will not be a happy reunion. And listen, let me speak bluntly to you, for it needs to be said bluntly. If your sin doesn't bother you now, it will certainly bother you. If you don't think your sin is a big deal on earth, you'll realize it's a big deal in eternity. And you will realize then and there it is no light matter or laughing matter to sin against God. Sin is bad. Good thing, therefore, that we can come to the glad message of the gospel, that there is forgiveness available. And every one of us, we ought to breathe a sigh of relief that forgiveness is available. Listen to what Paul said. He said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I want you to notice who this forgiveness is offered to. Paul says, it's offered to you. Now, Paul was in this city that he'd never been in before, and he didn't know his audience. And yet, he says, this forgiveness is offered to you. You see, Paul didn't need to know his audience in order to say that this forgiveness is offered to you, pulling you this, that no matter who is in the audience, no matter how good and upright and respectable and religious they are, they need forgiveness. For there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so no matter how upright your life has been, I know this about you. You need to be forgiven. You're a sinner in God's sight, just like the rest of us. You're guilty and condemned by His law, like we all are. You have a guilty past, a criminal record, and you desperately need to be forgiven. Do not think that you'll stand before God and He'll look at the life that you've lived and say it's good enough. It's not. Number one need, the all-important issue, the most pressing matter is this, to have your sins forgiven. Paul knew, no matter how good they are, they need to be forgiven. And he knew, no matter how bad they are, they can be forgiven. He didn't have to go snooping about and hooking around in the past and the history of his audience just to say, do they qualify for this? Didn't have to do some investigation, see what skeletons there were in the closet and what dark secrets they had in their past. No, he knew this, no matter how dark the past might be, and no matter the mess they've made, and the regrets they have, and the sins they've committed, this forgiveness is offered to all. I want you to know that this evening. You can be forgiven. Might be others in your life who can't forgive you. And it might be you can't forgive yourself. But God can forgive you. God's grace is bigger than your biggest sin. No matter what the past of anyone here in this room, all be forgiven. There was a woman who came to the Lord Jesus. We've mentioned her before. She was notorious in the city for her sin. And she came to the feet of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Lord said. He said, her sins, which are many, they were many, but they weren't too many. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Why was that? Because the good works outweighed the bad? Not at all. Because she'd gone to church? No, she hadn't. Because she was religious? The religious people wanted nothing to do with her. It was because she came to Christ. And this is the one who has the authority to forgive. And so forgiveness is available to you. That's who this forgiveness is offered to. But who is this forgiveness offered through? He said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. You see, the only way we can be forgiven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because God is righteous. And because God is righteous, that means that sin has to be paid for. I remember hearing a man tell about his story of conversion. He was a French man, still is, I suppose, and he was an atheist, and he met this girl that he took a shine to, and made his approach, and realised there was a bit of a problem. She was a Christian, so he knew this was going to get in the way of his intentions, and so he thought, well, I'll take a weekend to look into Christianity and show her that it's all nonsense. And so he took a weekend, and he realised this is going to take a bit longer, actually. And he started to investigate it, and he realised, I can't actually overturn this. And the evidence was mounting up. But as he was reading and researching, there was a question he wrote in his journal over and over again, and it was this: why did he have to die? Why did he have to die? He says, then I got the answer. He says, God reactivated my conscience. And God showed him just how serious a thing his sin was. And he realized, of course, God can't just brush that under the carpet. That needs to be dealt with. He realized that the price had to be paid. Yeah, he had said, that's why he had to die. If the Lord Jesus didn't come and bear the punishment and pay the penalty, well, I would have to bear it. But he loved me too much for that. And he was willing to take that trip and make that sacrifice and pay that price so that we could go free. He had to come. If the Lord Jesus didn't go to the cross and die for our sins, not one sinner, not one sin could be forgiven. But listen, because he went to the cross and died for our sins, paid the price, rose again, every sin, every sinner can be forgiven. He had to come to us. And listen, we have to come to him. You cannot ignore the Lord Jesus and have your sins forgiven. He is the only channel through which forgiveness can come to sinners. What that means then is this, that you need to turn to the Lord Jesus. You need to come to him. Now, I know that for some people that just sounds, so how can I come to him? Right? He's in heaven. Well, if he was on earth, what would you do? Right? If he was here, visibly, physically. If he was here, what would you do? Right? Someone here, and you want to be forgiven. You want to be saved. You say, yes, that's me. I would love my sins forgiven. I would love to know that I'm saved. Right? Well, if the Lord Jesus were here, what would you do? Say, well, I would come to you. I'd get up off my seat, and I would come to you. Then what would you do? I would bow to him. That seems appropriate. And what? I would ask him to save me. I would ask him to forgive me. Right, so that's what you would do if you could see him. Listen, the Bible says he's not far from any one of us. Right, I mean, you don't have to get up off your seat. Listen, the Lord who's in heaven, he knows your thoughts. He can see your heart. He can hear your cry. And just in your heart, you can come to him, recognizing he's the only one who can save me. He's the only one who can forgive me, because he died for me on that cross. And I am, in my heart, going to come to Christ. And if you come to him, his promise is he will not cast you out. He says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he's looking at people, thinking about people who are burdened by guilt, pressed down by the weight of sin, worried about judgment, fearing hell. And he says, if you're burdened down, come to me. Take the burden from you, because on the cross he took it for you. This forgiveness is offered to you. This forgiveness is offered through him. Something bad, our sin, something glad, forgiveness is available. Something sad, and that is that there are people who despise the offer. Right? They despise it. And what's the outcome? The outcome is they perish. It would have been so sad if forgiveness had never been made available. Right? If God had never sent his Son, if the Lord hadn't died for us on the cross, and there would have been no forgiveness available, we all would have perished without a hope. That would have been sad. But you know, I think it's more sad to think of people perishing when there was forgiveness on the other. I'm saying sad. When you talk about an understatement, sad. Listen. Many were once as near heaven as thou, but they lingered and lost their day. Their weeping and wailing and wandering now on the coasts of the castle. They're far from the kingdom, far from the crown, from Christ and his ransom and cross. Oh, infinite sadness. No tears but his own can weep such a fatherless loss. Don't despise the offer. Don't go on the way you're going. Turn to the sea.